This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant. Oh, sorry.
Kevin Durant. You Kevin Durant, mate? Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go. Right.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Dunk. Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht, and with me, John Hamm. John Hamm, how are you today?
I am well. It is early in the morning, and so far, so good.
Yes, we are recording early today. If you wanted to know, we're recording early this morning.
People need to know.
They do. The people want to know. So I hear a lot. I mean, Russell Westbrook has been incredible. 11 triple-doubles like that already. Is just incredibly stupid. It's just something that we've never seen before, and he should be praised. But I wonder. People are saying Russell is basically doing this all on his own. What do you think about that? Like, as somebody who watches every game, do you agree? Disagree? Do you think that this supporting cast deserves a little bit more credit than they're getting? What do you think?
Yeah, the supporting cast deserves a lot more credit than that. Because, I mean, let's just start with Andre Robertson on the defensive end. I mean, if he's not doing what he's doing defensively, this team is not 14-8 right now, despite Russell Westbrook's brilliance. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to start right there and talk about Andre. And, you know, just FYI, people, he does more than just miss the occasional three-point shot. He does some really phenomenal things defensively. He gets out in transition. He can't hit a free throw to save his life for whatever reason this season. I'm honestly like less concerned about him taking an open three than a free throw.
I know.
It is strange how that has flipped this season.
There's a Andre Robertson watch going on that I think people need to start participating in, and it's that his free throw percentage is lower than his three-point percentage.
Yeah.
let's see how long that goes.
Although he hit 2 for 2 the other night, and it rocketed his percentage up to 28%. So
all the way up to 28.
From 23 to 28. Yep. Climbing up the charts. So yeah, you've got that. Obviously, you think about Victor Oladipo. He has just looked so much more comfortable over the past, I would say, dozen games or so. Mm-hmm. It seems like that he's really kind of clicking, kind of figured out, you know, his spot on the team. So he's doing some nice things. Stephen Adams, yes, he could be producing some more, and there might be a little reason, you know, there might be a couple of reasons behind that, but I never thought that Adams was going to be like 15-10 this season anyway. So, you know, he could give some more, but still, they're doing what they can, especially as we've talked, you know, the Thunder have had a problem with defenses just collapsing in the paint and taking away a lot of what Adams can do down there for you. On the other hand, what's interesting to look at, if you look at PER, which, you know, we agree is a flawed stat, it doesn't encompass, you know, defense and a bunch of other things, but there's only two Thunder players above 15, which is the like replacement player level, and that's Russell and Enes Kanter. And then Stephen Adams is right there on the edge, and Victor's right behind him. So, yeah, that's the other thing you got to look at. Like, well, that's curious. But still, there are definitely some guys that are chipping in and helping the Thunder to where they are right now.
Yeah. I mean, you do wish that Victor could be a little bit more efficient than he has been. But at 17, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal a game. I mean, just those raw numbers. And I know I don't always like to look at raw numbers. But when we're talking about a team that... with Russell Westbrook and when he's doing everything on his own, I think that Victor deserves a little bit more credit.
He does. And he's also, he's got that free throw shooting issue as well. I mean, this was an 80% free throw shooter.
Yeah.
And now he's 62 this season. So I don't know what kind of plague has struck the team. I don't know if Durant took that ability with him to San Francisco or what happened, but it's bizarre.
Yeah. Only three players are shooting above 80% from the line. And one of them is Alex Abrines, who we'd expect to shoot well, but he's not really playing. And then it's Russ and Anthony Morrow.
And then how has Alex Abrines got 11 free throw attempts this season and Sabonis has two?
That's a good question. He's never really in position to be fouled.
No, he's not on
offense. And
but you would think Abrines never is either.
That's true.
It's mind-boggling.
They had him shoot like technical free throws and stuff like that. So
yeah, he did get a few freebies that way, I guess. But
That is. I mean, that's got to change. Like, if you're going to play 20 minutes a game, you've got to shoot more free throws than he has been.
In 22 games, I mean, he's literally shot two free throws. I'm not just being sarcastic here. In 22 games played, two free throws shot. And it was in one ball game against Miami.
That's kind of been an overall problem for this team, is that no one gets to the line.
Yeah.
But Russ, obviously.
Right.
Russ has 232 free throw attempts this season, which is kind of crazy. The next highest is Steven Adams at 65, and his Cantor has 65 as well. Oladipo's only got 50.
Yeah, there should be more of those from
Jeremy
him.
Grant, who misses all of his, is at 41. Robertson, who's even worse than Grant, 28. Yeah, that's a problem.
It is.
Get this. Kyle Singler has shot more free throws than Sabonis has.
Wow. That's crazy.
That is a hot ham stat.
That is bonkers.
The hot ham player of the week is, it's got to be Russell Westbrook.
Has to be.
Hitting 11 triple doubles. Is it six in a row now?
I mean, six in a row.
It's absolutely absurd. I don't even know if there's like any superlatives anymore for Russell Westbrook. Like, he just is. But yeah, go to Anchor Down. Enjoy yourself a corn dog. It'll be delicious, even more delicious, watching Russell Westbrook get triple doubles. Grab yourself a beer, invite some friends. It's a great place to watch games. We're going to do a live podcast there this month. So you should check that out. And also just go enjoy some lunch down at Anchor Down. If you work downtown, go grab a corn dog and enjoy Russell Westbrook's 11 freaking triple doubles.
My wife and I went there last week. Had some Roger dogs, and they were delicious.
Ooh, yeah. What'd your wife get?
She got the same thing.
She did? Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Yeah. We should have got something different so we could have shared, but, you know, I guess we were too hungry to think that through.
They've got good salads. I'm just going to say it.
I just can't go to a corn dog place and get a salad. I can't do it.
If you want to, you can, and they're delicious.
I'm sure it is. I just can't do it.
Okay, we're going to go to some Twitter questions. This is from Trust the Void. What's the likelihood of an amnesty clause in the new CBA, and would the Thunder use it?
All right, so I get to talk for about 5 minutes straight, right? Is that how this works?
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Okay. Well, so briefly, the history of this whole thing here, you know, where there was an amnesty provision to begin with. In 1999, the league introduced the concept of luxury taxes. Now, the way the system was at the time, there was no guarantee that the luxury tax would trigger that particular season. Teams had no idea what the luxury tax line even was until the end of the season. They were just completely operating in the dark. So you get to 2005, and they agreed to make the luxury tax an every year thing. You know, before the season, you'll know what it is. It's guaranteed to hit. And so to help teams out, they came out with this amnesty provision where you could waive one player, still pay his salary. But in 2005, the player wouldn't count against luxury tax calculations. He still counted against your salary cap. Wasn't a way to clear cap room, but he just wouldn't count against your luxury taxes. Mm-hmm. Get to 2011, they revamped the luxury tax system, made it stiffer, more punitive, and introduced the repeater taxes and all that. And plus the salary cap, because the players were getting a lower percentage of the overall revenue than they were getting before. So that's when they introduced an amnesty in 2011 and changed it and said, okay, each team has one use it or lose it throughout the life of the agreement, essentially. And, you know, they can wipe the player's salary off, not just for luxury taxes, but salary cap as well. So you can create cap room if you need to. So that was kind of the history there. Now we're coming to 2016. We just had a $24 million one-year jump in the salary cap. It's going to jump another $8 million or so next season. So teams have kind of got their bailout already, kind of built in just by all these cap increases. And that's why I doubt they're going to introduce another amnesty provision. So luxury taxes, I don't think are going to radically change. I don't think there's any rule going in place that would, you know, necessitate teams to say, well, we need to be able to, you know, scrub a bad contract off. So I don't think it's going to happen. If they do put it in, then really it just comes down to if the Thunder would benefit from using it. If they could create cap room by using the provision, or if they could save a few luxury tax dollars, then sure, they'd consider it. But it's not going to be an automatically, oh, yay, we can get rid of our worst player type of card to play.
Mm-hmm. They would use it on Singler, right? If they couldn't trade him.
Here's the thing about, and I know it's, you know, obviously he's not playing, but when you consider the salary cap being $102 million, Kyle's making like $5 million. He's making 5% of the salary cap. So, really, that comes down to, do we need the roster spot?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at, is that they could probably find somebody who could do more.
Right. If they need the roster spot, or, you know, again, if they've ramped up their payroll into luxury tax territory and they can save some money by doing that, then sure. But they wouldn't, I think, day one, just use it like, you know, Orlando did on Gilbert Arenas. Because, you know, that benefited them in a number of ways, and, you know, the ink wasn't even dry on the CBA before they waived him. So, but yeah, if it made sense for them to do it, obviously Singler's the most likely option.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have any really bad contracts on the team.
No, not yet.
So,
there's still time.
That was a good little John Hamm history lesson.
I love teaching history, so
that's great. I like this question from B. Pema. When can we expect to see a "If I Could Be Like Russ" Gatorade commercial?
We need that.
Wouldn't that be so great if they
need that?
Did and they made them dress in all the same clothes?
Yeah,
that would be great.
I mean, honestly, they should go back and get Spike Lee and reshoot all the old Mars Blackman commercials with Russ. And
who doesn't want to see that?
I know. We're sitting on a gold mine idea here.
We are.
People from Nike and Gatorade are listening to this.
Bobby, that's a great idea. Yeah, people from Nike and Gatorade are listening to this. From at that True Talk, does Oladipo's dunk over Dwight make your top five Thunder dunks? And I don't have, I mean, he asked what are our top five Thunder dunks. I didn't prepare for this question, but man, it was an incredible dunk. And especially that it was over Dwight Howard made it all that much better.
And that he double clutched.
Oh my gosh.
He did the Dominique Wilkins esque double clutch. It was phenomenal.
Right in front of Dominique too.
Yeah, that too.
So, okay. So, was it better than the Russell Westbrook Clint Capella dunk?
No.
In a vacuum, it is. But
right.
What the situation was and all that stuff, there's no way it's better.
Yeah, it's just not. So, yeah, that top five dunks of all time is I know that's also highly subject to "What Have You Done For Me Lately?"
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm sure if I went back and thought about that one guy that used to play here, and by that guy I'm talking about Dion Waiters, I'm sure I would come up with a that I really liked.
There's nothing better to me than a two-handed Dion Waiters dunk.
Powerful.
I just love it.
While screaming
and one with no one touching him is just the best.
That's great.
Okay, next question. This is from at Winskill 1969. I'd be fascinated to know John's thoughts on A, Lubbock, and B, Twitter replies.
That's another long story. Yeah, essentially, I made just a very innocuous comment because my man Cliff Brunt, who writes for the AP, was getting piled on by Texas Tech fans for no good reason. And yeah, I just in support of Cliff jumped in and said, you know, it looks like reading comprehension in the city of Lubbock could use some improvement. That's all I said. Didn't say anything. Didn't trash Lubbock. Didn't, you know, all I said was that reading comprehension needed to improve. So some guy direct messaged me further reinforcing my point that reading comprehension needed to improve, because he just, you know, barely thought that we were on some kind of a private, never going to be seen to the world, you know, conversation there. And I'm like, you know, I imagine you probably do this to more people than just me. So I'm going to call you out on this.
Oh, John, I somehow missed all this.
Oh yeah. So anyway, it was it was, I honestly thought it was like some 16-year-old hormonally imbalanced teenager, but apparently some guy that works at a law firm, prestigious law firm in Houston. But anyway, Yeah. If you're into reading like vulgar direct messages, you know, insult laden, just check my timeline. as a result, because I called the guy out, he wound up first changing his Twitter handle, which I called him out on that, and then he deleted his account entirely. So I'm like Batman.
Good job. You're like
vigilante justice.
Yes. I'm really glad to know that now. this is from at Ryan_Eller. Is it safe to be enthusiastic about the Thunder team again?
I would hold off for a bit, and here's why. Fred Katz and I were talking about this yesterday on a pod going up later this morning. This Thunder team could be teetering right around 500 at the end of January.
Yeah.
And I know people are going to be pulling their hair out.
I've predicted that they will be below 500 sometime in January.
They could be. They very well could be. And by the end of January, they could be like 25-24.
Also, just take a look at this next week. Houston on Friday, Boston on Sunday, Portland Tuesday, Utah Wednesday.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean,
exactly.
That's really tough.
This schedule, it flares up and then it dies down, flares up and dies down. So, yeah. Obviously, you know, be encouraged that the Thunder are beating the teams they should be beating. And I still think going and winning at Atlanta on the second night of a back-to-back, despite where Atlanta currently is, you know, in that slide, I thought that was a good sign. So there are some positives to take away here, but there's some rough waters ahead.
Yes. Yeah, that Atlanta win was good.
It was.
Next question from someone else is asking about your Lubbock troll.
just check my timeline. It's all there.
This one's pretty interesting. From Fat Stetson. Throw contracts out the window. Who would you rather have on the Thunder for the 2018-2019 season? Serge Ibaka, Domantas Sabonis.
Sabonis.
Yeah.
What about next
season?
I still say Sabonis.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah. Yep. And yeah, again, you know, taking contracts out of the equation there. Serge hasn't been the same guy in at least a couple of years.
Right.
And, you know, we obviously, you know, I think a lot of fans, their opinion of him is probably shaped by that one game here at Oklahoma City, but you know, he's not exactly had a bounce back season. He's not, you know, he's not like earning like all-star praise in the Eastern Conference on a new team. So
he wasn't marginalized last season.
You know, it seems that he wasn't. So, taking everything out of the equation, I'm perfectly fine with Sabonis being in that spot, and I think fans should be as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Talked about this 1,000 times that the Thunder just fleeced Orlando in that trade.
Looking more and more like it. More and more. Like I hesitated a bit because I was like, you know, Serge could, in a contract year, could go to Orlando. He could drop 17-10 and, you know, block 3 shots a game and completely turn this trade around. But he just hasn't.
No, no. And he played really well in Oklahoma City. But other than that, like he's been, I mean, definitely a step back from what he was even in Oklahoma City last year. So,
yeah, and it's been a decline since 2013-14 for a lot of reasons. I mean, I know he had the knee issue. I don't know. And we've talked about that when Serge was here. You know, was that a bigger deal than we realized? But, yeah, he's a 27-year-old who should be hitting his prime, who's still just kind of floating around where he was a couple of years ago. So,
hasn't really added anything to his game. So basically, since he developed his jump shot, he really hasn't added anything to his game.
Right. Because he used to be just so automatic from, like, you know, in that pick and pop from 15 to 18 feet, just so automatic. And that's when I was calling, like, he needs to get more shots because he's hitting them at an extremely high rate. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, then he kind of, you know, I think he was encouraged to step out and start taking threes, and he fell in love with it. And that's that.
Yeah. Next question from at LittleBit77. Have the Thunder peaked with their current roster this year? No,
I don't think so at all. What was it that I read the other day about, like when the big three formed in Miami, like that took a couple of years, mm-hmm. not just for LeBron and Wade to figure things out, but for all the players to kind of figure things out. So yeah, I know people kind of expect things to just gel quickly. Even that Golden State team, I mean, they were together before Kerr came in. It's not like Kerr came in and took over a completely revamped roster. I mean, the core was still in place. So, yeah, it's going to take some time. And we're seeing improvements throughout the season, and there's still a lot more I think they can improve.
Yeah. I mean, Steven Adams hasn't really played that well
right
so far. And I think he can be a lot better than he's been. I think once he kind of gets over a few injuries that – actually, if he ever does, because I feel like he gets hurt like every other game.
Yeah.
But if he can be completely healthy, and so is everybody else, I think this team can really, they can be a lot better than they have been. But Billy Donovan has seemed to have found something like in his rotation. Like he seemed to kind of develop some chemistry between certain groups, and that's been really, really fun to see. From at Cole Mundo, compare Cameron Payne to another backup point guard. Best case and worst case scenario?
Good question. I haven't actually like scoured backup point guards across the league very thoroughly.
I think like a DJ Augustine would be like a middle of the road type scenario for him. A guy that can run a pick and roll a little bit, can shoot a little bit, but isn't all that impactful of a player. I think he's better than that.
I do too. I mean, I feel like, you know, maybe not this season, but maybe next season if he's still on the Thunder, I think he could approach like Reggie Jackson type. And what I mean by Reggie Jackson is Reggie Jackson on the Thunder type production. Only he can shoot better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good comp, a better shooting Reggie Jackson. He's a little bit better feel, like he's more of a natural basketball player than Jackson
right.
ever was. Jackson, he's an incredible athlete, and I feel like he's really learned how to play the game. But yeah, he's going to fit the mold, I think, if he develops like I think he will. I think he's going to more fit the mold of like a starting point guard who is able to run a pick and roll, shoot the ball, score, and kind of be a defensive sieve. So... I mean, like a middle-class man to poor man's Damian Lillard type of guy.
Right.
So
yeah, that sounds good. Worst-case scenario, I don't know, Derek Fisher.
Yeah, that wouldn't be so bad. Thunder Derek Fisher?
Thunder Derek Fisher, yes.
Guarding Tim Duncan in the post?
Yes. Derek Fisher? That's him.
next question. From James TU20, Cantor for Wes Matthews. Matthews is a solid defender and shooter. He can play small forward and give what Oladipo does. We've talked about this a little bit. Wes Matthews has kind of struggled this season. He started shooting the ball a little bit better lately. But his injury history, his age, those are some things that kind of give me some pause. I think he's not even guaranteed to help all that much this season. I just kind of wonder how much of an upgrade he is for Andre Roberson, because he's going to be taking Andre Roberson's minutes, and he's clearly a better offensive player than Roberson, even whenever Matthews is slumping. But I'm kind of out on that.
Yeah, and he's 6'4 or 6'5, which to me, I mean, I know Dallas might use him at small forward because Rick Carlisle does some wacky things. He'll run 2-point guards on Wes Matthews and a couple of bigs and stuff like that. But I don't think this is your solution. Now, maybe off the bench, possibly. This is another thing that I talked with Fred about is as Oladipo gets more comfortable, I really hope the team is kind of abandoning that whole idea that we've talked about, like getting a legit small forward, shifting Robertson, and then shifting Oladipo. To me, go find a good, solid veteran backup wing.
Yes. Go get Wilson Chandler and let him destroy second units.
Yeah, I honestly think something like that makes a little bit more sense right now. I mean, if you can't go find your superstar trade out there. So, honestly, I look at Matthews in a Thunder uniform, and I don't think that he would be used like, you know, alongside Oladipo and Russ, trying to defend the larger, you know, small forwards in the league. You know, this is the team that likes to use big physical guys. They have a lot of length at that position. To me, as much as we like Wes Matthews, I just don't think the fit's there.
Yeah, agreed. From at Mikey Barra, does OKC really need a trade? If no star becomes available, would you sacrifice assets for Rudy Gay, Otto Porter, or Wes Matthews? Obviously not Wes Matthews. We just discussed that. Or like a Wilson Chandler type.
Mm-hmm.
If yes, what kind of improvement would you expect?
This kind of goes back to what we were just discussing there. I feel like that there's still an imbalance on this roster.
Yeah.
I think this team could get by using LaVerne more at the five, using Grant more at the four, and going and getting a legitimate swingman. If he's willing to come off the bench, even better. So Otto Porter, I don't know. I know people are kind of in on him because the Wizards are terrible. Ernie Grunfeld might be that dumb. He's shown it before.
I'd be surprised if they traded him, but he just fits the Thunder mold in so many ways.
Right.
Controllable contract, young guy, super athletic, improving. I mean, he kind of fits the similar to like Victor Oladipo mold.
Yeah.
Except for he's bigger and can play the three and the four, which is exactly what the Thunder need.
Right.
But I would still be surprised if they'd even be willing to trade him. Zach Lowe tweeted that he's talked to executives that say that he's going to get them a max deal this summer.
Maybe. I suppose so. And I'm starting, well, that's a whole other topic of conversation with max contracts, but yeah. So if no star becomes available, would you sacrifice assets? It depends. I could see a scenario like at the trade deadline, like nothing else really materializes and Sacramento just wants to dump Rudy Gay. If you could get him inexpensively, I would probably look at it to get through the season.
If it goes all the way to the trade deadline and they haven't traded him, and he's said that he wants to be traded,
mm-hmm.
He's saying he's not going to come back. Like, there's the scenario where the Thunder get him for, like, Singler and Morrow and...
And cap room.
Yeah.
And put together a deal there. So, something like that. Obviously, a guy like Wilson Chandler, yeah. You know, that would probably take some more assets and to put a deal together there. That might be worth it. I just feel like Morrow has shown when you can space the floor, you know, how much it can improve the offense. And I think getting another guy off the bench that can also stretch the floor, attack the basket, would open up some other things for this team offensively, especially for the bigs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Thunder just clearly need a wing that's competent. And just the fact that Anthony Morrow has had such a big impact on this team recently just proves that even more.
Yep.
Last question. This is from Chris_Powers. Is Dakari Johnson an option for the Thunder with his tremendous growth in the past 2 years? I tend to think no with this current roster, but if they make some trades and eventually they don't have enough bigs, I could see them calling him up.
That or potentially he's a trade piece.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to give people some indication here, with a huge disclaimer, this is D-League stats, and I haven't watched Dakari Johnson play yet this season, but he's averaging 20 points, almost 9 boards a game on 57% shooting. So
sounds pretty good.
I mean, it looks promising. I don't know how in the world that translates to the NBA. Especially considering he would be coming in as a rookie in the NBA, and everyone would be bigger, faster, stronger, better. But still, I mean, it could very well be that maybe he's a trade chip. Maybe not quite like Marc Gasol years ago, but you know, could be something that other teams covet that, you know, they could put into a deal to grease the skids.
Yeah. No, I think that's something to it's kind of smart to look at, because the Thunder do have his rights, and you know, other teams are paying attention to their D League players and to other teams' D League players too, just to see what they're doing. So, I think it makes sense to kind of have him on your radar. Not a lot, but at least that he's on your radar a little bit makes some sense. John, thanks for coming on the podcast today. We can follow you on Twitter, John M. Hamm. We can listen to you on the franchise. We can listen to you on Locked On Thunder today. We can read your stuff at Bleacher Report. Am I missing anything?
That should pretty much cover it for the moment, yeah.
Awesome. Go eat a corn dog and anchor down at lunch today, and have a wonderful day.